I guess you can cue the 80s music. Someone has walked into a room.
Oh my God.
Get a little phone call.
You just made your big break. You're going to be in the magazines. Go run to that all-night spa and get a tan as soon as possible.
Now it's garbage.
Movie Night.
Hello everybody and welcome to the show. We are Just Another Movie Night. I am Scott.
And I'm Joe.
Hey Joe.
Hi Scotty.
Today on the show, we are talking trash.
Talking trash.
Talking trash indeed. This is where we review, spoil, debate, crap on, and give second chances to the hated, the lowest rated, and the much debated and often forgotten flicks on the internet, all while asking the question, is this the worst movie ever made? And if not, what is? Because here on the show, we truly believe you can't review a movie unless you know what the worst is. And that leads us into what we've been doing all month. Bad, bad movies about working out. Aerobics movies, if you will.
Yeah, they're all aerobics movies so far.
So far.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of stretching, a lot of bending, a lot of 80s style.
A lot of G-strings, a lot of very in-shape people.
Gratuitous in-shape people.
Gratuitous, yes. Very gratuitous.
Today, we are talking about a movie that the director found it very hard working with the director of photography because he quotes, "He had no respect for me at all and fought all the way on every single thing we shot." We're talking about Killer Workout, a.k.a. Aerobicide from 1987.
Can I just say something?
Sure.
Sorry to interrupt you, but I have a problem with these movies. And I don't understand how they don't notice what they're doing, but not all of these like aerobics places have skinny people. You know, that's not real life. And
some of these places have a very overweight man in a what looks to be a person who works on a farm's outfit on a exercise bike.
I think he was wearing overalls. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we have one heavy gentleman in this whole entire movie. And I'm just wondering, like, is this like, do they think people are not going to notice it? Like, don't you go to gyms and stuff so you can lose weight and get in shape? But like every single person in these aerobics movies that we've been watching are all in perfect shape. Now I know it's because they're in their aerobics class and they've probably been doing it a while, but I mean, can you just have some reality thrown in there just a little bit? Like maybe there's like a sort of fluffy gal in the back, you know, kind of just doing her best.
Can I give you a little rundown on how to sell a movie?
I mean, I just want a little bit of reality, but
I don't think that's what sells. And I
know.
Don't think that's what even you wanted to see.
But the point I was getting at, and no, I do want to see, like, you know, what you're going to see in these 80s movies. But I just, this movie had not one realistic thing about it. The whole entire thing.
This one in particular, absolutely not.
Wow.
Well, I mean, we're going to start breaking it down. I was just going to say this has an IMDb score of 4.7 from 2,782 people. It was directed and written by David A. Pryor, who did Deadliest Prey, Deadly Prey, Man Killers, and Space Mutiny. It stars Marsha Carr as Rhonda from Real Genius, Cheerleader Camp, and Maniac Cop. It also stars the director's brother, Ted Pryor, who plays Chuck Dawson. He was also the star of Deadly Prey and Deadliest Prey.
He looks like James Vanderbeek.
Yeah, he's like James Vanderbeek and Christian Bale, like smashed into a person.
Oh my God, yeah.
It's very odd, yeah. Except with huge muscles.
Yeah, well, the mullet thing is...
Yeah, he's got a jawline and a hair, and like his hair just really feel like other people.
Yeah.
When you look at him, it's odd because it doesn't really belong on him.
No, but you know, I gotta tell you, I didn't hate the character of Chuck.
He's the best part.
Yeah.
Let's face facts here. Everyone Chuck seems else, to be the most interesting thing about the movie.
He is. Everyone else sucks.
All right. So let's talk out this thing because good Lord, as horror movies go, and this is the first, this is the movie that is responsible for starting the horror movie aerobics phenomenon subculture, like the whole thing. Like, so we get like, you know, Death Spa and all these ones after this. And there's a lot. And I think the first movie we did in this month pretty much is because of this movie, since they started it, you know. And it's a funny thing that like the whole thing came about. The screenwriter was like, hey, let's do this. What if we did this and made it a horror movie? Okay, sure. Let's get a lot of attractive people, get nudity, show a lot of shots of bending and squatting and, you know, all that, and have killing, and it'll sell. So it went straight to video. But, you know, this is an odd movie because right the beginning of this film, this feels like straight to video. This movie like reeks of it, especially the 80s. It reeks of the 80s as well.
The soundtrack to this, I gotta say, I love that bad 80s like synthesized crap that they put in horror movies where like, okay, no one's ever heard the song. It was just, you know, thrown in this movie. Someone wrote the song for this movie. But this particular movie had the worst soundtrack of any horror movie ever.
I mean, that's so odd hearing that from you because usually you love this kind of schlock.
Well, I'm listening to the lyrics of the songs, like the songs in this movie. Holy crap. Okay, so they have a song, like it's called Woman on Fire. Which is a little too on the nose for this movie. Another song called Animal Workout and the smash hit Aerobicide. Wherein they say the lyrics, working out till you die, in the song. That's in the song. I have never heard such terrible music in an 80s movie where I was just like, oh my God, like what is happening? I usually love this shit. I live for the 80s, like, you know, soundtracks. And I got this. I was like, okay, I'm trying to listen to the lyrics. Like, I almost want to listen to the soundtrack again, like, just the songs. So I can really just come to terms with what I heard. The lyrics in these songs, I don't know if you were paying attention.
Oh, I couldn't help it.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Like, someone was just making them up as they were going along. It was bad.
Fun fact, you're wrong.
Bad soundtrack.
And that's the thing about this movie that's even funnier, is, like, it's every couple minutes they feel there's a void of sound of some sort. So they keep adding music and it slowly builds into each scene. You feel like it's supposed to be a part of the radio or something, but it's not because it follows characters everywhere. And they're going to want you to hear the whole 2 minute song, you know, the 2.5 minutes or whatever. And they come so frequently. And if they're not there, they're going to put in like a horror score. That's like a very synthesized score.
It was terrible.
They don't want a moment without this music. And I read an interview that they did. Both brothers did an interview. And I'm not finding the source now. I just read it and I can't find a damn thing. But they were asking them, where did you get all this music? And he says, we just reached into this catalog and asked them we could use all this BMI music and all that. They said, we found like hundreds of songs. And he's like, some of them were pretty cool. Like, I can't believe they were just sitting in these piles of music.
Oh, my God. Really? You can't believe they were sitting in piles of music in archives? That's because they're the worst songs ever written. I have never heard anything so bad.
I can't believe it. This is a rarity where you usually love, like, when especially I do. I know I absolutely love when a song is made for the title of a film. When I started hearing Aerobicide, which was the original title of this movie, playing, I started laughing. There's something giddy fun about it, like just that hearing someone try to make a song out of something like that. And I kind of love it, especially in horror movies.
Yeah, so they didn't get all the songs out of archives from some catalog. Yeah,
I don't know. That's a great question where that song in particular came from, because I can't imagine it being made for this movie. Unless they found it and said, that's the name.
That would just be way too much for me. I mean, they actually sell the soundtrack online of this movie. I cannot.
Well, of course they do. There's somebody for every soundtrack. So
I mean, I guess you're right. I mean, this is like one of those movies that Joe Bob and Darcy would do on The Last Drive-In. But it's... Here's the thing.
Well, what? Go ahead.
No, I'm going to say things that I'm like jumping in. So
I was just saying, let's get into the plot, because it starts out funny right out of the gate, because the movie starts out with the song starting. And we see there's a whole theme of oversized outfit on this one particular character that we follow.
Growing up in the 80s, I can tell you that outfit existed.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay? That outfit with the fold-over flap in the back and the front and the poofy skirt and like the little like half booties that they wear. Like that outfit existed.
Yeah.
It in the poofy hair. But you can't see what the girl looks like.
They're doing it on purpose. They have her so dressed. Shoulder pads. Huge baggy outfit that's shiny and hair that covers the face completely like a helmet, and they are doing this on purpose. And that's one of the biggest oddities of this film. There is no reason to do that early on. I mean, I guess there is, but they could have done something more creative here, and we'll get into it a little more. Well,
they're just making it obvious. I mean, she looks like Dark Helmet from Spaceballs. There's with that big hair.
Yeah, this movie is so obvious. As we get on, we'll say it more and more how ridiculous it is. But this opening is some of the craziest shit going on, right? That's why there's something about it that is so cheesy, stupid. That it's kind of endearing at the same time. I don't know what it is about it, but the movie starts off in a way where you know they're covering this woman up in particular. You know the face is being covered, right? And she's going about her day in her kitchen. Like, she just gets home. She's going to start making food for herself in the microwave. And she plays her answer machine, which the answer machine is like the typical thing, right, from these 80s movies. You're going to get a whole bunch of messages, like a boyfriend looking to where, you know, when are we going to meet up type of thing, or a friend saying, hey, I'm going to go on a date and I need your clothes. And then the next one, of course, is, hey, you got the gig. You're going to be on the magazine cover or whatever. It's just like none of it feels genuine. It all feels like completely forced.
Right.
Hi, Barry, where are you? Call me as soon as you get in. You're not going to believe this, but I finally got a date with that guy from the lighthouse. You know the one with the incredible bulge in his pants? I can't believe it. I need to borrow that sexy red dress of yours. I know my tits aren't as big as yours, but I'll still look hot in it. So give me a call right away, okay, Valerie? Thanks.
Hey, Valerie, hold on to your socks, babe. You've got the job. Tomorrow morning, you're on your way to Paris to shoot the cover of Cosmo. Hey, Valerie, hold on to your socks, babe. You've got the job. Tomorrow morning, you're on your way to Paris to shoot the cover of Cosmopolitan. Look, I told him you have a great tan, so make sure you do. Ciao, babe.
And she is microwaving food. And
it was amazing. She starts microwaving her food, but she gets so excited that she got the job, which is like a photo shoot in Paris, and she leaves in the morning, right?
Oh, yeah.
She leaves in the morning.
You're going to already leave. We just gave you only like 5 hours notice.
I know. The guy on the answering machine is like, oh, we leave in the morning. Congratulations. You got the job. So she obviously just forgets that she has food in the microwave and runs out to the tanning salon.
I wanted to point out real fast, the way that we know she's excited is we get to see her stomping her feet like,
like the Jennifer Beals dance, sort of. Yeah.
Yeah. She runs, like you said, she runs out to a tanning salon at night.
She needs to get a tan before she goes to the photo shoot the next day. So she's like nice and glistened.
This is the famous all night tanning salon that exists.
Yeah, who knows how late this is, but whatever.
She gets, now let's strips down and she gets into what I can only explain for the nerds listening, the thing they put Spock in when they shot him into space when he died in Wrath of Khan. I mean, this thing is a giant coffin-esque light show. And it's funny because the guy actually built it for the scene. And this poor woman that's doing the scene has to crawl into this thing. And it actually lowers like the press that crushed the Terminator. It's just like... And if she gets in there, I want to say that Final Destination movies, they got to give this movie credit because this is the first movie ever did it. People are going to say like Final Destination was the first one to do it. You know, remember like, I think it was like Part 4.
Yeah.
Or something like that where they did the tanning salon death.
Yes.
Well, this movie does it first because this thing gets a little bit of a spark and it just torches this woman alive. And we have to watch. You think it's going to be quick and there's just going to be some smoke and some screaming and then they're going to cut away?
No.
No, they just keep showing the fire and the screaming. For a while. Like, there is no way this person wasn't completely, like...
obliterated.
Yeah, just like,
but like the best part is that she's screaming for like a good 5 minutes and it sparks and all this stuff and nobody runs in there to help her.
Because it is the late night shift, let's face facts.
There's gotta be at least one person working there.
This is the red eye of the tanning salon.
I don't even care. There has to be at least one employee running the show and nobody goes in to help her.
Even if you don't hear the screaming, you have to smell what is coming out of this thing, because they even show the smoke clouds coming out of this.
Yeah.
And all I kept thinking was the smell of hair burning. When I walk past the salon, I can smell that thing from a mile away. You got to know that there's human flesh and hair burning like insane in the room next
door.
For
real.
There's no way. But that's when we, right from this, we just jump ahead. Now we're not told, right? We're just jump into another scene.
No, we just assume that she died in there, and that's the end. Like, they don't even talk about it after that.
Yeah, we just we automatically get into Rhonda's
workout.
Rhonda's workout.
Yeah,
which is a health club workout place, right? And we just we start by seeing an aerobics class of, I would say that maybe playmates. Like, this thing wants you to know penthouse pets are all just jiggling away in this dance
group. It's kind of like the movie Perfect, you know? Like, they're just gyrating.
I feel like here, they're, the only difference is the gratuitous of the boobs in that they're, like, Sure. Butt and thrusting and all that is a part of the workout, so it makes sense.
Yeah.
Here we're actually getting shots of just jiggling boobs.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. And I got to tell you, Jamie Lee Curtis is still sexier.
I think so, too.
Like, I don't know. I mean, maybe it's just that she is more realistic. Yeah. And there's something about her, like, her movements, because the movements here don't feel as much. Although the women here are very pretty in this movie.
They are, yeah.
Like, and not to, you know, even the men are pretty damn sculpted. They're all really, really, like, buff.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is funny, because I think in Perfect, it's more gratuitous in the men's outfits. There's a lot of the guys with short thrusting. Yeah,
you know, the ball hammocks.
Yeah, there's none of that in this movie at all. They don't even try.
We don't have many guys in this.
Yeah, we really do. We have, like, I think 5 guys
total
exist in this movie. Well, no, 7. There's 7 altogether men that show up in this movie.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. I just counted very quickly in my head. But yeah, we're introduced to it, and we see Rhonda is doing the class, the aerobics instructor. But she's, if there's any word that can explain Rhonda, it is angry.
Does that bother you?
Want help business?
Oh my God. I mean, she's a pretty girl. I think she is. She has a pretty face. But she's so mad.
She does a lot of eyebrow acting.
Oh my God.
So it makes her look even more mad.
Yeah, it's just, I didn't understand, like, why this actress had this motivation. Like, why are you so mad? And then we learn,
I can hardly wait.
Because the girl, Jamie, she actually works there. She comes in and she's late. So it turns out that Rhonda's pissed because she had to teach the aerobics class because Jamie didn't show up. Now, can we please talk about the timing here? Because Jamie gets yelled at by Rhonda in her office about being late. And she says, it won't ever happen again. And so Rhonda's like, okay, well, that's fine. Just go and lock up. Now, I'm sorry, what time of day is this? And how late are you?
Yeah, when she gets to this place, it is full daylight. Now, can I name the actress? Because the actress has the best name, and I have to read it. Okay? It is Teresa Van der Woude.
What?
Teresa Van der Woude.
Okay, let me look at
her. She's on General Hospital.
Teresa Vanderwood. It's just Wood.
It doesn't say that when I looked it up.
It's Wood, but it's spelled differently. W-O-U-D-E. That's Wood. Teresa Vanderwood.
It's got an A on the end.
It does not. That's an E, you fool.
No, the one I'm telling you, I don't have that spelling here.
No, I'm looking at IMDb.
Get out of here. Well, what the hell did I see?
I like Wooda.
It's spelled Gouda, but with a W when I looked at it.
No, not even.
You know what?
Teresa Vanderwood.
Just because you think... Oh, it does. Just because you're smarter, prettier, and everything doesn't mean that I'm lesser.
Okay, I am absolutely none of those things.
Just because I saw Gouda, Wooda,
you're always thinking
and
of
I wanted
food.
To say Teresa Vanderwooda, I thought that was amazing. I was like, her name is Wooda? Fucking incredible. Oh, people usually change their names for way less.
Oh my God, I'm glad I looked. Teresa Vanderwood.
I'm just mad because I want to call her Wooda from now on.
Okay, call her Wooda.
This is what happens when you're doing quick research and your eyes blur during it. I am getting older, you know. All right, so Vanderwooder.
Now you're just making up other shit.
Yeah, she was on General Hospital.
Oh my God.
So yeah.
Okay, can we just talk about how she looks like Stalker Channing?
We follow her entire car ride to this place, getting out of the car and coming inside. Her outfit. Talk about her outfit.
Okay, it's beautiful. She looks so hot in this. I love this outfit that she has on. I wish I could walk around in this thing. It's like a G-string. It goes up her butt, but she's got, like, you know, those leotard, like, leggings.
Yes.
But the front of it is like a zipper.
It looks like Vampirella.
Yeah, it's very punk rock. I like it. And she's totally rocking it. She does look like Stockard Channing. Like a younger version of Stockard Channing from Grease.
You said that, and I don't see it at all.
From Rizzo? Yeah, she does.
I always saw Rizzo as more of like a tomboy. I don't see that with her.
No, look at her face. She does. She has the same eyebrows and eyes and everything. Those droopy eyes that Stockard Channing has. Whatever. I don't care. She's hot.
Stockard Wuda. We'll call her for now.
This chick's hot. Anyway, I like her.
Well, she actually, this is the greatest part about her outfit. She came to do an aerobics class late in high heels that are matching to her outfit.
Okay. Yeah, they weren't high heels. They were pumps, but they were, yes, inappropriate for that.
They look like stiletto.
They were pumps, but it doesn't matter.
You know,
there's
one thing I definitely know as a man. All about these things that we're talking about right now. I'm guessing, and I think I need to deserve a little more credit for what I have guessed.
Okay, stilettos. Stilettos are pretty high, sharp, sexy.
That's what they were.
They did not appear that way to me.
I noticed it so much because I thought when she was going to walk in front of the door, there was like cracks in the sidewalk. I thought she was actually going to get stuck.
Well, I mean, yeah, if I was walking in stilettos,
yeah.
I'd break my ass. I can't.
Like, what is she wearing?
This is why I don't wear those kind of shoes.
But even if she did wear pumps or lifts of some sort, who does the aerobics in that?
Right. I mean, she should have been wearing sneakers. The whole outfit is absolutely unnecessary. I don't get it.
I don't get it.
But the reason we're talking about this right now, and the reason it's relevant, is because she literally goes into Rhonda's workout, gets yelled at by Rhonda for being late, and then is told to close up. So she arrives how late?
Because I shouldn't be you doing your job. And then she just goes, it's okay, clean up.
Yeah, the whole day is over.
Lock up.
Like, you're literally hours late, okay? Just why even bother coming in if you're just going in to close up?
Yeah.
In that outfit. I didn't understand that at all. There's so much in this movie that makes no sense.
Oh, the movie
none
is completely void of logic. I will say that we are introduced to more and more characters here, especially two men who seem to hang around, and they're both complete scumbags. Mm-hmm. They also look very similar. They both have black hair, and they have the same body type.
They look like beefcakes.
They're very big. They look like wrestlers almost. And they both do the same flirtatious things to the women in this movie. So both Stockard Wuda and and our main character both get hit on pretty heavily. The guys go up to them. And if you think like hitting on is bad, this is how bad it gets, is that he literally runs his fingers down the middle of their chests.
That is actual sexual assault. That's not even flirtation, okay? That is assault. He like touches her breasts.
And we're talking about Stockard Wuda.
Yeah. That character's name's Jamie. Wuda.
All right. And I would say that one flirts with Wuda more and the other one flirts with Rhonda. Now, Rhonda is not the even type to take any of it. The guy who flirts with her, his name is Jimmy. Jimmy, he is like obsessed with her. You can tell right off the bat. And she doesn't want any of it. She doesn't let him near her. She's also very offish, like standoffish about everything. She's very covered up. She's very just like, or you know, we already knew she was angry. But that's like a whole, it's like a whole thing with her. It's her whole character.
It's her whole character. Like, she doesn't just have moods. She's quite literally the meanest person ever. She's so nasty. Anytime she talks to anyone, it's just nasty comments and just bitchiness. And she has that resting bitch face.
She does a lot of like raised eyebrow, like, I'm better than you look.
Yeah.
Even when she's being nice, she's still angry. It's weird. I wouldn't say it's like the worst, but yeah, it's, she doesn't go out of her way. She doesn't really say terrible things to anybody.
And she does at one point. She's just a nasty
bitch. Yeah. But yeah, she's just, there's a reason that Jimmy and her like, or I'm even talking about them. But yeah, the other one, he's like obsessed with Wuda. And that's a whole thing too, I guess. But Wuda goes and cleans up the place now. Now, we see that there's the women. Apparently, there only seems to be two rooms in this place.
That's all they show us.
Three or four rooms. There's a locker room, a washroom, a little workout weights room that you can hardly tell. They don't really shoot it in a way where you can see things very well.
That's in the corner of the bathroom. Yeah,
and then an aerobics classroom. And there's an office. And that's the whole setup of the design of this place. It doesn't seem very big. But there's women who I can tell weren't in the aerobics class are now in the showers.
Mm-hmm.
One in particular goes in there. And we have to watch her entire, because this is the 80s, wash herself. So, and she really is into washing herself because her friend even says, "What the hell are you doing? You're going to melt away in there one day." And she says, "Well, anyways, I got to go. I'm going to go. I'll see you at my house tonight."
I guess there's supposed to be like a party, which they never go back to at all.
Never talk about it again. Although another character mentions it too. And they all leave her and she's just showering by herself. Now, at the same time, Wuda is cleaning up.
So they're about to close. And this woman stays behind to take like the longest shower in the history of showers for whatever reason, just so we can see her washing her body. Okay. I don't care.
Yeah, she can go home.
Yeah.
I don't even understand that. I don't know. That's
like
weird.
Go home and take
go
a shower.
Go home and take a shower.
It's so weird, but this whole scene is unnecessary, but necessary to plot because this is where we get our first killing. And it's quite the most unimpressive thing I've seen in a long time.
It's like the director was like, you know, Psycho's pretty cool. And it is a shower scene. So let's do the Psycho kill, but let's do a completely awful in every aspect whatsoever. Like, let's not even know why the shower scene in Psycho is so interesting. You know, let's completely be oblivious to that.
Yeah.
And make our own version where we just show it, but not actually show any contact either. And would it be cooler? And I'm going to ask you this, hon. Wouldn't it be cooler instead of a knife, you used a giant safety pin?
I mean, if I were a killer, that would be my weapon of choice. I think safety pins are so underrated.
Yes, I agree.
And underused, yeah. You know? I mean, yeah, sure, they can hold your blouse together if something, you know, pops like a button or whatever, but really, though, you can really take an eye out with one of those things.
I agree. You know? Yeah, I agree. And you might be thinking the little one, but think about when you watched an old cartoon show from back in the day, like a Hanna-Barbera, and remember every time that someone had a diaper, they would clothespin it, and it was like a giant clothespin, like the size of your hand. That's what we have as a killing weapon in this film.
It's a fucking safety pin.
It's just a huge safety pin.
I cannot.
That it jams this woman. And you would think that these little pricks would enter her and just maybe like, ouch. But these make geysers of blood shoot out.
See, I feel like even if this woman did get stabbed in the neck with a safety pin and say you hit an artery or something, right? Okay, you can still hold that little hole shut with your hand and survive this. Maybe put up a little bit of a fight. Zero fight. Zero. Just stands there and takes it as if they were being given an award. And I was like, okay, we're not supposed to care about this person at all. We never even met her. We don't know her. Okay, bye. And that's the first death. But what's more impressive about this death is that the killer has time to remove this human being from the shower and place them in a locker.
Yeah, and what's funny is Wuda is walking around cleaning, and she actually comes into the near the bathroom. Well, because the people who go to this gym are slobs, and they don't have a janitor, which I talked to you about. I'm like, there's no person who works here to sterilize this place from the sweat.
This is the 80s. They didn't sterilize nothing.
Oh, this is so gross. But yeah, she's just picking up random nasty towels and stuff thrown all over the place. And as she's doing that, the killer is dragging the body and stops. And then she doesn't even catch it. So then she leaves the room. The killer's like, oh, okay. Now I can keep dragging the body.
Yeah.
And she drags the... Sorry. The killer drags the body into the locker room. And like you said, and puts it in a locker, apparently.
This takes so much time and effort to do this. I want to know, how do you accomplish this without making any noise whatsoever or being seen? Like, how are you not seen? I mean, this girl's in the locker room cleaning up. Like, how are you not? I just don't get it. It was an extra move. Like, you could have just left her in the shower.
Yeah. And yes, that's true too, because she doesn't ever seem to notice the showers. No. She just picks up towels outside in the bathroom area. She doesn't go into the shower room. So the killer could have just left her on the floor. Like, it's so strange. But what's even more odd is that Wuda goes into the damn locker room. And
hey, Wuda anymore.
She hears a tappa-tappa, and she's like, what's in that locker over there? Oh, no, I got to back up. Because something even more insane happens. She sees that she's in the locker room, and then she gets really interested to look into the one guy's locker who doesn't put a lock on it. And what she finds in there is his jockstrap. And she starts playing with his sweaty, dirty jockstrap.
Yeah.
And
see, that's what I'm telling you about this sanitary. There's no such thing in the 80s. They were just, you know, touching nasty shit and getting crabs and, you know, they didn't give a shit.
Apparently not. I mean, just seeing a woman playing with a jockstrap, I was like, good Lord. And this is funny because it looks like the killer is about to sneak up on her next, but it's actually Rhonda who's sneaking up on her because she sees her playing with a jockstrap. And she says, what the hell are you doing? She just laughs at her. And she's like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm just cleaning. She's like, yeah, well, hurry up, you know, let's lock up and get out of here. So she leaves her again. So she starts picking up Wuda, starts picking up again, and she hears the tappa-tappa. And now in the most odd thing ever, she hears the tappa-tappa. She opens a longer locker, and someone has constructed a hand, that like a fake hand that will shoot out when you open that locker.
This is one of those unnecessary 80s, like, you know, I got you. Yeah, you thought there's me a body in there.
Yeah.
And there was nothing scary about it. It was stupid. And it was just like a time padding moment.
It's weird.
For no reason.
Yeah.
Because we know that when she opens the next locker, which she does, there's going to be a body falling out.
I don't even think she opens it. I think it opens on its own.
Nope. She opens it.
All right, so it's so odd. I guess it's supposed to be a double scare, like we see when someone goes to a medicine cabinet and they close it, you're expecting the thing to be in the mirror now.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes they'll do a second open.
Yeah.
And then sometimes it's inside the medicine cabinet. That's the same thing here. I guess it's supposed to be a jump scare setup.
But it was so
But it does not work stupid. Whatsoever, like, because it's not directed well.
No, it's not. It could have been something that actually was a little bit frightening, but it was so stupid. It was just made for laughs almost. It didn't fit into the movie. So first body is down.
The body falls at her, I guess. And I was thinking, all I could think was Mr. Green with the cook.
Oh my God. Somebody help me, please. Yeah, help Somebody me, help me.
We don't see Rhonda find the body. We don't see Wuda call for help. We don't see any of that. We just now see a cop, a couple cops actually, in the locker room. Someone's bagging and tagging the dead body. And we have our now lead detective.
This guy is hands down the worst cop in any movie ever.
Yeah, this is David Campbell. He's playing Lieutenant Morgan. And he is also from Deadly Prey and Prime Target.
Crap.
Yeah, he is next level terrible.
Must be a reason.
You know, I know damn well there's a reason.
You're pretty handy with that thing. Very sharp.
Then you hardly have anything in common, do you?
I'm just doing my job, Miss Johnson.
Do you even have a suspect?
No. As a matter of fact, I have several. It's the motive I can't quite figure out, but I will. Officer Peterson's gonna hang around for the rest of the evening, if you don't mind.
Fine.
Good, I'm running out of body bags.
Not only in character, but I would say in acting. His lines, everything about him is like smackable. I would say, I don't know if you agree, but he has the same experience where the fake hand jumps out of the locker again because she was able to put it back nicely. And so it jumps out and it gives him a handshake. And then I know the 80s, they didn't think that people knew anything about cops, so they didn't care. But this guy is touching evidence with his bare hands.
It was amazing. I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. Like, he was on the scene. He just touching everything. I mean, everything. He had no gloves on. He was like literally the worst detective ever. And that's how you know you're in a real piece of crap movie. Because they just didn't give a shit about anything at all. At all. And so they make it a point to like, you know, make him a big character in this movie because obviously he has to solve the crime. But like, little by little, all the bodies start piling up, and this fucking gym still stays open. I cannot get over it. I can't.
Yeah, I wanted to say that when his detective work, he finds a bloody knitting needle, which you think that we already know that wasn't a killing weapon, so we don't even know why this needle is involved here. But he seems to like, we have to watch him bag and tag it with his bare hands and go in. Now here's something else you don't do. Usually you take the prime suspects, the only two people in there, to the police station and interrogate them. Mm-hmm. No, he leaves them in their office and goes in there and taunts them by throwing the bloody knitting needle at them on the desk. She's touching the bag, and then he questions her by saying, did you notice whose locker she was in?
Here's the thing. I'm sorry, let me just interrupt you really quick. The knitting needle, I mean, they out and out show us that that's not the murder weapon.
They actually tell us, they show us, and then they tell us later on it's not the murder weapon. What was the reason for it? It's so odd. And even when he throws it at Rhonda picks it up and is like, I don't know what this is, and throws it right back.
I know.
Like, it's so odd.
It's did you guys forget that you just showed us what the murder weapon is?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that Wuda goes, he goes, did you know her? And she goes, I didn't really know her that well. You know, I've seen her around. We've talked a few times. She was beautiful. He goes, not anymore. I was like, God, this cop's already going for it. But he says, did you notice whose locker she was stuffed in? She was stuffed in Diane Matthews' locker. And they're like, huh, Diane Matthews. Do you know her? Not so much. She's very quiet. Sometimes she stands back. I've seen her drinking alone at the bar. Sometimes she seems maybe jealous. How so? I don't know. I guess just because she's lonely. I was like, holy shit. We're really getting some character design in this movie. Some real red herrings. We didn't even see this woman yet. We don't know who Diane is. So in the next scene, we actually get Diane. So you think you would have a character established. Then they get killed. Then you know who's getting set up or who might be the killer. We don't get any of that.
No.
In fact, this movie already has told us pretty damn quickly who the killer is, and there's not even a shred of doubt at this point.
I mean, you can suspect, you know, who it is, but we don't really get the answer. All we know is that we're on our second murder now.
No, we're not on the second. We're only on the first one.
I'm sorry. Oh no, this is the first one with the shower. Okay. Okay, after this happens, Rhonda does not close the goddamn gym.
No, that's what I was saying. Like that, they just cut to the next day, and we see this Diane Matthews character. Now, you think that the cop would be investigating all these people already?
Yeah.
But it's not. And instead, we get this Diane character who likes the guy that likes Rhonda.
Jimmy.
She's like trying to get his attention while she's dancing and stuff. And, you know, she just seems like more of a motherly woman. Like, you know, she seems like the, you know, the lonely mom type character who wants someone to pay attention to her. That's basically it. And you only get a little bit of how sad she is because she basically tries to ask this guy out. And he, like, plays her and says, she says, I don't have anything going on tonight. And he goes, neither do I. And she says, oh, and he's, oh, well, I think he says it the other way around. She says, what are you doing tonight? Nothing. I'm not doing anything either. And he goes, that's too bad for you. And he like walks away from her. Yeah. So she's upset. So well, she like goes home.
He's a dick.
Yeah.
But he only really likes Rhonda, really.
Right? Yeah, he's like obsessed with looking at Rhonda. Although Rhonda tells him all the time to fuck off. Like just constantly. Get out of here.
I mean, he is off-putting. He's always trying to touch her.
Yeah.
He's just a perv. He's a creep.
Now,
he's a total creep.
Basically, we get more characters. We got two other guys who work out, right? And they're talking about the woman who died. And they're like, oh, did you sleep with her? No, I would have, though. And Rhonda is listening. And we also see another guy who is also working out. And we keep watching his muscles. And he is ripped. And that would be the director's brother, Ted Pryor, playing Chuck. Chuck just now shows up. And he is basically working out watching those two guys. So we're kind of getting these new characters. And Rhonda's like mad that they're talking about it. So she goes, walks into the aerobics room where Wuda is working out with all the girls. And she calls Wuda over and she goes,
well, just teach the class to stop showing off your tits and tight little ass. Got it?
I mean, it's kind of out of place. Because, like, honestly, there's no one to show your tits and ass to. There's just a bunch of women in this class. There's no men there. And, like, who are you showing off to? Every single woman is dressed exactly the same and doing the exact same movements as she was. So what is she showing off? Like, you automatically get that Rhonda is bitter as fuck. She's just, one of those bitchy broads that just hates other women because she hates other women.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And when she, like, walks away from that encounter, she finds Chuck going through her file cabinet in her office, and he tells her that he is now going to work there, that her partner called him in to go work there after the first death because something is wrong there, and he needs to, like, check up on her for him. And we're like, what? Okay, there's a partner. They're kind of establishing some weird stuff here, but he seems very sketchy, this Chuck character.
I mean, if I were Chuck, and I learned that someone was stabbed with a safety pin there, I definitely would be like, no, I don't think I want that assignment.
Yeah.
No, do you have something else for me? Yeah. Maybe an old folks home, something?
Something. Well... Oh, he goes, well, what's your, she is a real asshole to him, right? Oh,
she's a real asshole through the whole movie.
Let's not make this our first day on the job, boss. What do you need me to start doing? And she goes, there's some toilets to unclog and some trash to throw out. And he's like, fine.
But so she says it with such feeling, yeah, like grumpy.
Screw like, off.
Yeah, some yeah. garbage that needs to go out and some toilets need to be scrubbed.
Yeah.
It's so extra.
So he goes to throw out the trash. Now, this is really strange. Because what's really unusual is a guy who we already established is inside the damn place is now pulling up in his car and almost crushing Chuck into the building. And so Chuck goes, what the hell is your problem, man? And now he's walking in a direction where the trash is, and it's not there. It's actually in another shot. They show it's completely on a different side of the street.
Yeah.
So he's walking in the wrong direction with the trash bags just because scene. And so the guy gets out of his car. Now it's Jimmy, right? You said?
Yeah, Jimmy.
Jimmy. And Jimmy is, this is really strange, but Jimmy threatens him because he's talking to Rhonda. He had talked to Rhonda. I don't know how he saw the conversation between Rhonda and Chuck because they were in her office. But he drives up and says, stay away from Rhonda.
Which is, okay, the best thing about this scene to me is not the fact that he's mad that he's talking to Rhonda. It's the fact that he gets into a scuffle with him over talking to Rhonda. But then he gets into his car after the scuffle is over and drives away. But didn't you just arrive at the gym?
Well, he was already there. That's what I'm saying. He was already in the gym when the woman, Diane, talked to him.
No, I mean, I'm talking about Jimmy. He pulled in and almost hit Chuck with his car.
No, what I'm saying to you is Jimmy was already there. Why is he now driving up in his car?
Oh, shit. I didn't realize that.
He was already inside. We saw him flirting, or Diane flirting with him.
Well, that makes it worse then.
Yeah, so I know.
Like, how are you in your car?
And you said, why is he driving off? I'm like, because he just got his ass beat and he's putting his tail between his legs. Chuck is able to stop him. While this is all happening, while this terrible fight is happening, it's a kind of fight where people punch each other in the face and they make whoosh, 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 mm-hmm. and they just keep doing it over and over. While this is happening, we have a character who walks out who is played by Diane Copeland. She comes out, she's playing a character named Debbie. And Debbie comes out and is watching the fight very closely. And I guess she's waiting to see who the winner is. I don't really know where her plot line here. But when Jimmy drives away, that's when Chuck decides he can now find where the trash can really was and walk over to and throw the trash out and watch Jimmy drive. And that's when Debbie walks up and's like, hey, you know, I saw the fight. And he's like, oh, yeah, I saw that, huh? Like, yeah, everybody saw it. It was right here, you know, like in front of everybody. And then she's like, you want to go for a ride? Yeah, okay, I just started my job today. Let's go for a ride.
He literally was in the building for about 10 minutes.
10 minutes.
And everyone just leaves the building whenever they feel like it. I'm like, who works here?
Yeah. So cue new music, 80s music, and Debbie drives. We got to watch Chuck and Debbie drive to her house to go have Pepsis in the backyard. And where she says, I'm going to, he says, well, you know what? Do you know about that guy, Jimmy? And she says, yeah, unfortunately, I used to date him. He's a creepy dude. He does creepy things. And, oh, do you have his address? Yeah, why? Are you into the creepy things? And he's like, no, I might want to go see him later.
Now, okay, you just saw a scuffle between these two men. You don't know anything about this guy that you just invited to your home. And he's asking for some other guy's address. Does that sound sus to you?
I know. And she goes again and she goes, I'm going to go change. Wait right here. Now, nothing says the 80s like Diet Pepsis, these outfits, and the fact that she has a phone, a red cord phone, sitting outside in the backyard. I was like, this is more 80s than I think I can handle. And the music, too.
I just don't understand these movies that have phones outside.
Yeah, it's like, did she bring it with him? Was it already waiting?
The phone was there.
It was just there.
It was already there in the beginning of the scene. I'm like, how do you have a phone just sitting outside? Like, what is going on here?
If it was Ted, my mind would have exploded. But yeah, he takes this time to use the phone to call somebody and make it even more suspect. Like, he's calling somebody about checking up on Rhonda and watching the place. And that he might have a lead. So you don't really know what's happening with Chuck, but Debbie comes back outside in a bathrobe and Chuck's like, I think I got to go back to the place. You know, I just started work today.
Yeah. Maybe I should go back to work.
And she's like, are you sure? I got something you can work on. And she drops her clothes and they make out. And then suddenly Chuck is, I guess, not back at work in the next scene. I don't know, but I think we get another killing. But I couldn't for the life of me tell you who dies next.
All right, here's the thing.
I do know we are going to get to something else, but I think someone dies at the place.
Yeah, lots of people.
No, I know, but I just can't remember who dies next is what I'm saying here. I feel like another random woman dies in this scene, but I can't for the life of me think of who it is.
I don't know. It's a lot of randos.
A lot of randos die. And the funniest part of this, though, that every time someone does die, there's still people dancing in the aerobics room. Nobody seems to give a shit that there was a dead body and a murder inside this place.
Okay, now we're at two murders, and the place is still open for business.
Yeah.
Now, if I were working out at this particular gym, and I learned that there was a fight outside even, I'd be like, okay, well, I'm just going to take a break. But two murders, and people are still coming in there to work out as if everything is fine. No one's even talking about it.
Yeah. And okay, now I have to talk about my favorite part. Because this is great. This Diane Matthews character, played by Laurel Mock. She was in L.A. Crackdown 2. That's amazing. That's a sequel. She is at her house now, very upset about the whole thing about getting, like, you know, no date and everything. And she looks like she's living in the red room from Twin Peaks. It's, like, all red. She's got a red light on, red satin, everything. And she gets a knock at the door. Now, I wouldn't say this is a normal knock, but this is our chief police, our lieutenant character again, mm-hmm. our cop character. He is pounding on the door.
Who is it?
Open up! Open the door! Open up! Open up the door! It's the police!
Like, why?
And she's like, who is it? And he's just like, open up, open the door.
Why? Why though?
He's pounding. Instead of saying, hello, ma'am, it's the police. I need to talk to you. He doesn't say anything like logical. He is pounding on the door, actually on both sides with both fists, to the point where she's so creeped out that she's backing up from the doorway. Now on the second floor, he is on the first floor pounding on the door. And all of a sudden behind her is the killer, who again stabs her, I believe, with a clothespin again. I don't remember.
It's a safety pin.
I don't, because it's not always a safety pin, but yeah, I think
this
she gets stabbed again.
Safety pin.
She gets stabbed, and the cop hears the, oh! And so he breaks in the door and runs up the stairs. And when he gets up there, the killer does a complete head jump right through a window, dressed like a ninja. On the second story, lands perfect roll and runs off.
Now, this is impressive. Okay, first of all, for so many reasons. Number one, who is this woman?
This is the woman that dead body was in her locker. So this guy thinks. Now, I don't know why it took him so long to go investigate or talk to her, especially since she was just at the gym.
Yeah, she was there. Why did he let her leave?
And also, there wasn't even a scene where they were like, I'm sorry, Diane, we got to get you a new locker. There was a corpse in your locker last night. I don't even understand what's happening, but yeah, for some reason, it took him so long to come and investigate her. And then the way he does it is like, she's instantly the murderer. Why? Only because she couldn't get a date and someone stuck a body in her locker.
Yeah.
I don't even know why.
Stupidest thing. I was like, okay, first of all, why are we even seeing this? This is happening outside of Rhonda's workout. It's not even at the gym. So this killer went to this girl's house.
Yeah, which makes no sense because right now Diane would be a suspect and would cover your tracks. But the killer's like, nope, I don't need her to cover my tracks. And by the way, she's not the overall pretty one that the rest of the women are. She seems more homely.
Yeah.
And so it's like very odd because what we find out later on is that beautiful people are getting murdered.
Yeah, all the pretty ones.
And it's like,
yeah.
What did Diane do? She had a knitting needle in her locker. She's a cat mom. You know what I mean? And come on, what did Diane do to deserve this? She couldn't get a date. You know, it sucks. I feel really bad for this character. I don't even understand why this happened, but I love the ninja outfit. I love that jump from a second story window through a window.
Which leads me to believe that it was like a very fit man.
At this point, I'm thinking, there's ninja in this film? Like, I don't even know what's happening. But yeah, we, of course, get more murders.
I mean, so many more murders that are all happening in the gym at this point.
Yeah, and of course, it's all revolving around different aspects. Now, like, each person is like in a room. So at one point, actually, at that night, there is a vandalism in front. Someone vandalizes the front of the Rhonda's place.
So word gets out that there's been a lot of murders at Rhonda's.
Yeah.
And so they spray paint, some vandals come and spray paint aerobicide on the window.
And also they do spray paint Death Spa.
They do.
Yeah, which later on, a couple years later, becomes another movie.
Yep. But they get murdered. And with a knife this time.
Here's what's really strange about it is that it seems to be three people, two of which we don't know.
Uh-huh.
And another one who happens to be Debbie.
Yeah, she's the one that was making out with Chuck.
Well, had sex with Chuck already.
And we don't know if they had sex, but they're
they had out. Sex. Hey, come on.
Are you just saying that because you're a man and you just know?
She dropped her clothes and said, I have something for you to work on.
Maybe they just made out. Just saying. He did have to go back to work.
I mean, maybe there was Diet Pepsi's involved.
That maybe he lived up to his responsibilities and he said, no, I don't want to have sex with you, Miss Lady. I'm going back to my job where I can get paid money.
I feel like I've been sexistly attacked. I think I've been targeted sexually. I don't even understand what I've done.
Wait, is it possible for men to just say no?
No, because the first thing he did was make out with her after she dropped her clothes.
I mean, true. I mean, she does.
It's not going to stop now.
She had big honkers.
We both said that Debbie is very attractive.
Yeah.
But here's the crazy thing is, I don't know why Debbie is helping vandals.
I don't know. I feel like she came into the movie at that wrong moment. Like, there was a bad edit. Like, maybe she was just walking to her car and then she saw them. I don't know, but she gets stabbed right in the head.
Yeah, we watch each one of them get stabbed with a hunting knife.
Oh, yeah. It was a pretty big knife. Yeah. I was like, wait a minute. Are there two murderers? Because one is using a freaking safety pin and one's using a Michael Myers knife.
Exactly. And there's also the ninja aspect because they are sneaking in the shadows. They are coming up behind them. They are jumping up on the roof. First off, I don't know how the person got up on the roof of a car because it was one of those fabric ones.
Yeah, you know, it was a convertible from the 80s.
Where were they standing?
It was like a vinyl canopy. You're not standing on top of there because you're going to go right through.
Were they suggesting they were just standing right next to the door?
Or he could have been standing on the trunk and like leaning over. I don't know. We're really trying to make some sense out of this shit. This movie is so nonsensical. All of it. The whole thing. Down to the freaking soundtrack, to everything. All the acting. It's just nonsense. There's no making sense out of this.
It gets better because, like, the cop goes and talks to Wuda and Rhonda again, and's like, I think I might have wrote it down. I'm gonna see because I try to write some quotes down because they're all great. He says, Officer Patterson's gonna hang around if that's all right. I'm starting to run out of body bags. And now Officer Patterson, this guy is just like he's a cop in a giant cartoon cop hat, and he does nothing but drink coffee and stand around because
he's a cliche
because the two workout guys who are working out talking about having sex with that girl, one of them is lifting weights and the weight is becoming unscrewed. Now, this has nothing to do with the killer. It seems to be an accident.
Yeah.
So it does come unscrewed, and he hits himself in the head with the workout bar. And it seems to, dazed a little bit. But then all of a sudden, the killer shows up with a barbell and is able to hit this guy in the head so hard that it puts a hole in the middle of his head, right? And now his buddy... His other friend, the other guy, because there's no one else around, of course, but the other guy is in the locker room and he's like saying goodbye to Chuck. And I don't know if Jimmy, I don't know who's in there, but he comes out and he's like laughing. And then he sees his friend. He's like, oh my God. And of course, naturally, instead of calling help, 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 he grabs his friend's head and keeps turning it side to side to see the hole in his head.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's what you want to do when someone's hurt. Just shake him about.
And that's when he gets somehow in this little tiny room, there's nowhere to hide. The ninja hits him in the head with a clothespin and it pokes a little hole in his forehead and he dies instantly.
Can we just talk about how I can't say it enough? This fucking place is a goddamn crime scene.
Yeah.
It's a fucking crime scene. And all these people are working out, but like, no, there's nothing wrong.
Let's finish how many bodies are in this scene like and then bodies. Talk about how they're still working out. Because, okay, we got a guy with a barbell hole in his head and another person with a clothespin hole in his head. And then another guy, the other guy who's flirting with a Wuda, he comes down and looks at the bodies And that's when Chuck sees him, jumps over the railing, and beats the living shit out of him, thinking he's the guy who killed them. So Chuck knocks this guy out, and then the cop shows up exactly at that moment, our detective. And of course, Peterson, the other cop, does nothing. And the detective's like, you got some explaining to do, you know? So they handcuff the guy who Chuck knocked out. And of course, the detective's like, you're always around when people die. They only started coming when you showed up, right? So he's like, you think you did something good now that you knocked out this guy who could be the killer? Maybe you did. Maybe you didn't. So he puts them in the locker room. They put this guy in the locker room. Now, he has a bizarre dream where Wuda comes and has sex with him only to be killed by him. And then he gets killed by himself.
Okay. Now, this whole entire scene is so unnecessary.
Oh,
it means nothing to the plot. It is the dumbest thing of all time. It's like the worst padding
It's
of
the
all
show time. Wuda's boobs, apparently.
Who cares? I mean, they're nice, but great.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, yeah, I'm with you. This is unnecessary and it's bizarre. And I don't know if it was supposed to add more characters because it doesn't matter. Because in the next shot, the cop comes in and he wakes him up out of this weird dream that he's having. And he's like, I'm in handcuffs. And he's like, yeah, you were next to two dead bodies. And then he's like, I didn't do it. And they're like, well, I don't know about that. And then he says to him, this is amazing. Hopefully I wrote this down. Oh, he says to him, relax. I'm not done with you yet, but I'll be back.
First of all, you're the worst fucking cop of all time. And secondly, this has been a crime scene 5 times now. Yeah. And people are still in there working out like nothing's happened.
So he leaves this guy in the room and tells Peterson, or whatever that guy's name is.
Officer Peterson's going to hang around for the rest of the evening, if you don't mind.
Fine.
Good, I'm running out of body bags.
Stand here and watch guard. And he walks out of the room. And the moment he walks out of the room, this guy just goes, whoop, and he looks up and he gets killed instantaneously.
I just can't. It's amazing. Like, I mean, nobody's even worried or concerned. Like, literally, the fucking county would shut this place down. There's multiple murders
in this
place.
It's a crime scene.
And there's no forensic experts or anything. It's just one freaking idiot cop and his deputy.
What, the coroner? When they put the bodies in the bag, the coroner goes, see you tomorrow. And my favorite part is they have 3 body bags coming out of this room now. And then they cut to the girls working out.
I'm like, what are you fucking doing? Like, you stupid broads. Like, do you notice that 18 people were just killed here?
Yeah.
Like, oh, I need to go get my beads. I need to get nice beads, some nice beads going. Like, what?
And they even joke around. They're like, oh, we got less and less people.
Oh, my
God. Get back to work. Get back to work, Chuck and Wuda. We got to get we only have a few customers.
People are coming in just to get murdered.
Just get murdered.
So stupid.
And so this is my favorite bit now. One of the women, there's a couple women and they're closing up again. And one of the women goes into the bathroom and she's in the locker room. She's throwing all of her clothes in the bag. And a woman who looks just like the Diane character is talking to her. And I was like, wait, is that the same actress? It seems so weird. She says, oh, finally cleaning up all your outfits, huh? She goes, I'm getting out of here. Now, what's weird is her mascara looks like he was crying or something.
Yeah. Now, okay, that could be attributed to maybe her workout and she was sweating, you know, like maybe she was just wearing makeup. But
I thought it felt like an edited scene.
I feel
scene.
Like there's like something missing in that scene. Because these two characters are speaking.
Yes, that's true, too.
Like, why?
And then this character goes, I'm getting out of here. Everybody's dying.
It took 16 people to die.
Exactly. And she waited to the end of the day in the night to leave this place when there's been a crime scene every single day for 3 days.
Just in fact, just that morning. Let me just get my jazzercise in and then I'll go.
And then I'll go. and that morning, there was 3 murders that morning alone. And she's like packing up. Now she goes, I'm going to get Wuda. I'm getting out of here. So they cut to Wuda. Now she's packing up in the dance place and the lights go out. And when I say lights go out, it's not like someone cut the power. Someone just turned the lights off with a switch.
Yeah.
And nobody knows how to turn switches on in this movie. So Wuda just walks around like, and we see like the killer's about to kill her and we cut away. Now we cut back to the woman with the mascara leaking and she's like looking for her and she finds her bag on the floor. So she's like, oh my God, where is she? What's going on? And she opens up a doorway and Wuda comes out hanging. Just hanging in front of her in the doorway. It looks like she's been dead for a while because she looks gray. And also the actress, not so good at it because her eyes move a little bit. And she goes, oh, and she starts backing up. Now the other woman that was just talking to her in the locker comes out and finds that girl dead on the floor. We didn't even see it. She's just now dead. The girl with the mascara was leaking that found Wuda's body.
Yeah, so in a matter of maybe 4 seconds flat, she finds Wuda's body. I can't believe I'm saying Wuda. But Wuda's body hanging. She steps out of the door, and she's automatically dead immediately.
Immediately.
Now, nobody else is out in the hallway. Nobody's seen. Like, you can just murder someone and then just vanish into thin air? Because that's what happens here.
Yes.
How big is this place?
Yeah, and what's really crazy, we cut to other scenes now, too, which is really strange, to an odd scene of guns on the table. And I was very confused at what was happening because I thought Chuck was walking around the Rana's workout. And I didn't know where he was, but we found out that he broke into Jimmy's house.
Yeah, Jimmy's got an arsenal. Okay, first of all, this guy is mentally unstable as it is. He's like a pervert and almost like rapey. So we find out he's worse. He has a fucking arsenal.
And he has a mural to Rhonda all over his walls.
It's like a shrine, obsessive shrine with all pictures of her and shit.
I should have said that, yeah. And just like tons and tons of weapons. And we don't know what's going on, but then the next shot is even odder because now Chuck is suddenly watching someone in a swimming pool, which you think is maybe the backyard where Jimmy's swimming. But no, now he's at Rhonda's house and Rhonda's just randomly swimming. And Jimmy sneaks up on Chuck while he's watching her swim. And a huge fight ensues.
Well, Jimmy thinks that he's like, you know, probably the murderer or something. That's why he attacks him.
Well, it seems vice versa because it's like Chuck might be the murderer. Jimmy might be the murderer. It doesn't really make sense here. And none of the killers have ever looked their body type.
No.
Maybe Chuck's more than Jimmy.
Not
Jimmy's
even.
Huge. They have a huge fight and they fight for a bit. And even so crazy, the fight is that Chuck is able to take an entire
rake
and stab Jimmy in the side of his leg. It doesn't even affect Jimmy.
Nah. Now,
the last fight that they had, Chuck was able to beat him easily. Now, Jimmy is like, he's like Bane. This is like him on taking Venom and just completely obliterating Batman suddenly. It is like out of nowhere. And it seems like he's knocking Chuck out. And he's about to fall into the pool and drown. But the next shot is Chuck just wakes up on the couch with Rhonda and the detective.
Who fished him out of the pool?
And he's not even wet. And I was like, what has happened? What happened? Why would Jimmy leave?
Yeah, Jimmy ran off. You said he ran off. I don't even recall that.
Because the first thing that Chuck says is, where is Jimmy? And he's like, he's not here. He got away. And he goes, you got to go get him right now. He's the killer. I was trying to stop him. And so they're like, explain yourself. And he's like, okay, well, I guess the cat is out of the bag. I'm actually a private detective who was hired by her partner to make sure what was going on and find the killer and stop any bad business. So I'm trying to protect Rhonda from whoever the killer is. Because the business partner doesn't want their business ruined. So he's like, I found out, I broke into Jimmy's house and I found out that he's obsessed with Rhonda and I was afraid he was going to kill her next. But I definitely think he's the killer and he's jealous. So you got to go get him. And the cop's like, we're going to go head out and get him soon. And he's like, you got to clean up and get out of town. So Chuck's like, okay. So he goes to Rhonda's place. For some reason, goes to Rhonda's place. The cop shows up, sees him trying to break in, and he nicely gives him the keys. He's like, I'm just gotta get my stuff. So he gets his stuff out of the workout place. And when he walks outside, very slow-like, we see Jimmy's watching him with his car. Now, the detective should be nearby, but he's not even around anymore. Same thing with that other cop that just disappeared. He revs up the car and is able to ram at Jimmy, who stands still, pulls out his gun, and miss completely and get hit by the car. Jimmy just gets out of the car and stabs him to death with an ice pick.
This is shocking to me because
I was shocked by this.
I was like, this is like, I mean, you really have thrown us for a loop here.
This is the only loop that's thrown here.
Yeah, I was like, is he actually the killer? Because, you know, he actually has the arsenal. He went so far as to freaking beat this guy up, and then he hits him with the car, and then he fucking stabs him and murders him.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait a minute. This is a total switch. Like, yes, he started out as a pervert and a weirdo, but I didn't think that he was going to this length.
Yes.
And he's just killing this guy with all these murders going on that looked a little suspicious.
I agree. But at the same time this is happening, though, we cut back to see that the detective has now left him and went to Rhonda's house because he has information on Rhonda. And the information is a huge reveal. We actually see, before the detective comes in our house, we see that Rhonda is naked from behind and is completely burnt. And she has no hair, and she's putting on a wig, which is a terrible wig that changes in the next shot to a real hair. It is so funny to see.
So now we get the big reveal,
yeah. I guess, that Rhonda was the woman that burned in the spa in the opening.
Okay.
So,
but her face is completely untouched.
It only circled her face.
So she burned up all over her body.
They say 75% of her body was burned.
And her face is perfection.
Perfection.
Yep.
Yes. Now, if they would have showed the woman in the opening and then said that somebody in this cast was maybe her, they could have said it was plastic surgery.
Yeah.
They could have done anything.
Yeah.
Instead of just hiding at her and showing that this woman's always covered up, it's not a shock.
Right.
We know it instantly that, oh, it's Rhonda. She's such an asshole.
Yeah.
And why is she being like this?
Like, he does the research on her and discovers that, oh, hey, I know your real name, Lucy or whatever.
Valerie.
And he calls her out on it. And she's like, yeah, you know, that something happened to me. You know, I had to change my name.
Oh, I'll be better than that.
Yeah.
This scene is insane. She goes, you are set on fire and you are burned 75% of your body. And she goes, what do you want to see? These? And she rips open her shirt, unbuttons her jacket, and she shows her naked body. It's like burnt jiggly boobs. Like, just like burnt. Like, mm-hmm. You know, it's so awkward. It looks like Mystique from the X-Men.
No.
Yeah, it's just not blue.
It's just, ugh.
It's like that makeup, but not blue.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of gross.
It's not even that gross to me. It's like, I feel really bad. But, like, this scene is next level insane. The cop is, his acting and his dialogue are incredibly insensitive.
You have in every to direction. Enter in this freaking
I wrote down line. Some quotes here, and I probably am paraphrasing, but I'm going to say this is exactly what I wrote down. Valerie Johnson, a woman who now can't get a job outside of a freak show. Valerie Johnson, who can't make love to a man without getting him sick. How dare you? I'm just doing my job, ma'am. What the hell?
That is the harshest, meanest thing ever. You know, just because she changed her name and, you know, had to become a different person doesn't mean that she's a murderer. Like, what is wrong with you, dude?
Yeah, and my favorite thing about this is her name was Rhonda Johnson and she just changed it to Valerie Johnson.
No, her name was Valerie Johnson and she changed it to Rhonda Johnson.
That's what I mean. But why, like, you think you would change your last name?
I mean, you should change the whole thing.
The whole thing. Like, yeah. She goes, I changed it legally. And I was like, you didn't really change it that much. You know, like, yeah, okay. That's okay. So he arrests her. He puts her in the car. And right when they get in the car, he gets, and by the way, she has hands in front handcuffed. And there's no police car. He's just in a regular car with her in the back seat. And they get the whatever on the walkie. And it says, Chuck was killed at the workout place. And they're like, And then if she's in the backseat going, uncuff me. It wasn't me. I told you.
Right.
So he goes to investigate. He leaves her behind and he goes to investigate and runs into Jimmy. And there's a huge fight. And they run. Now, here's the thing. Jimmy is limping because he got stabbed by a rake in the leg. And then there's an entire chase where he's fine. And this cop is so bad at his job that he's able to get knocked out and let Jimmy free.
So easily. So and I'm easily. Like, wait, what is Jimmy's motive, though? Like, why does he want to kill all these people for zero reason? And all the pretty people, too. He likes pretty people. He's a flirt. He's like a pervert. You know, I don't get it. What is his motivation for doing all this? So.
Well, yeah. Well, I'm very shocked. What shocks me is that he doesn't kill the cop. Why does he leave him alive? It doesn't make any sense. So he goes back to, now, of all the places to go after he knocks out the cop, he goes back out to the workout place where Rhonda actually goes to. This is like ground zero. You don't go back to this.
I know. First of all, they both go to the scene of the crime. It's just mind-boggling how stupid this movie is. Like, we're talking about it, and I still can't believe we just watched it. Like,
Jimmy goes into the showers where Rhonda now, for some reason, left her house and went to a workout place to shower.
So if you don't want to be found out about your past life and everything you went through, why would you take the risk of taking your wig off and your clothes off in a place where people could see you?
Yes. Well, I mean, to be fair, nobody is alive that ever worked here or went here. So
everyone's dead.
Everybody's dead.
They're like 16 bodies.
Yes. So Jimmy comes in there and sees her for the first time naked and is shocked. And then she shoots him with what I would call Dirty Harry's handgun.
Oh, it is. It's a hand cannon.
Yeah, the hand cannon. That's a damn hand cannon. Did you see the size of that thing? Jimmy falls down into the corner of the room, shot multiple times. And she says, why did you do it? Why did you stick up for me when you knew I killed all those people? Why did you put yourself out there like that? And he goes, because I love you and I didn't want you to go down for the crimes.
Wow.
And she shoots him right in the head.
So it was Rhonda the whole time. She was killing beautiful people because she felt that she could never be beautiful. And she was very envious. She could never, ever have the life that she once had as a model. And she basically just wanted everyone in that gym to die because they were beautiful. And she killed them with a safety pin.
Yeah, cut to the gym is extremely popular. She is, it's rich. But this is really odd because the scene we cut to here is an 80-yard line of the cop and her driving in a car in the middle of the wilderness. And you can hear like her voice 80-yard in saying, where are we going? I have to go back to work. I have things I have to do. What is this nonsense? And he's like, I need to show you something. And then he takes her out in the middle of the woods with a shovel. And it goes and tells her his life story. And basically is telling her that he is going to dig a hole and kill her because he knows that she's really the criminal and he's going to throw her in it. But he won't do it before he monologues so much that she's able to take the shovel and kill him.
Yeah.
And that's it. She, by the way, she is wearing MC Hammer's clothes.
Oh my gosh. There's no way to describe this outfit. It's like goldish with like...
It's like Missy Elliott in that one video, but MC Hammer colors.
I have never seen anything so ugly. I swear to God. Even in those like Dolce & Gabbana like fashion shows that you see on like the reels on Instagram. That's where perfect. Those people are wearing like strainers and pasta forks and shit in their hair. I've never seen anything so ugly. I mean, this is the 80s. I get it. But damn. Okay. That thing is an abomination that she's wearing.
What a trip.
You have to post a picture of that shit when we're ready to.
Well, if you can, because the funniest thing about this movie is that it's on Amazon Prime streaming right now. But the streaming is actually a rip from a VHS tape. And you can actually watch the tracking go nuts while watching this movie. So the tracking is all over the place. You might think it's like your feed, your streaming, your Wi-Fi, your internet's going down. No, it's actually tracking from a VHS tape that they've
It's quite amazing because, like, if you want to definitely get the feel of the 80s, you don't feel when you're watching this that you are at all in 2024.
No, not at all. Not at all. Feels like you went to Tonight's Feature Video and got this really cheap.
Yeah, yeah. 99-cent rental.
Yes.
Yep.
Oh, those are the days.
It is. That's bad.
Well, then they come back to Rhonda is at her place. It's a huge success because she killed the killer. And so now it's a very popular spot that to go to. And they are loaded to capacity with people who are paying. And they're like, we're going to put an ad in the newspaper. And you know, everybody's going to be here. It's going to be the biggest opening ever. And then she's like, that sounds great. And then they cut to her playing with her giant. Oh, and she says, all the most beautiful people in the world will be here. She says, I hope so. And then she's playing with her little safety pin.
And she's like giving this little.
And then we have to watch the credit scene over the dancing, which is a thing in this month. Every movie we've watched has done this.
The goddamn music in this movie. I was like, you know, I love the horror movie songs that, you know, the random horror movie songs they put in there that no one's ever heard of. And that's like one of my favorite things. But this soundtrack was so bad. It was just so bad. I couldn't take it. This whole movie was pretty bad. I mean, yeah. You're thinking like a slasher movie with a safety pin? What? Like, what point in your writing this did you think, oh, okay, so the chainsaw's been done. The kitchen knife has been done. The razor hands have been done. What other weapon can we use? Oh, I know. Let's just get this obnoxiously big safety pin and kill people with it. Who had that idea? Who came up with that idea?
So it was the actor who played Chuck. He said that he saw somebody he knew had that keychain. That was a giant safety pin. And he said, how cool would that be if that was the murder weapon?
Okay, yeah, it's not cool at all.
Cool at all.
It's so lame.
I saw that they both, in that interview that they did, they were talking about how, at the time, the director, you know, he said, at the time, I thought I was making an Academy Award movie. But he goes, because I think anybody who's making a movie thinks they're doing the best. But then when you see it later on, you know, oh, yeah, this is funny. Like, I did something funny instead.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on. I don't know if it's yours or mine. I don't know what that is. No, it's the microphone's popping. It sounds like...
No, you know what it is?
No, it wasn't that.
No?
No, I know that. But anyways, yeah, he said that he pretty much knew. And then they took it in and they said going on the tours of people watching these movies in the theater again, kind of shocked. They said, you know what? It's kind of awesome. We know what we can see now. Back then, we were doing partying. We were out of our minds a little bit. We were around beautiful women. We weren't really thinking about it. We were just trying to make a fun movie and hoping for the best. And he's like, now I can see with clear eyes. Yeah, we made some crazy stuff. And I like that they can embrace it. I like these directors who knew later on, oh, yeah, I made some silly stuff. I can now embrace it and look back at it. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't do that. They're like, I made a masterpiece.
I know. Like, you got to admit, like, this is not
a good movie. Not even close. But what would you give it out of 10?
Well, because I know that they understand what they were doing and they embraced that. It was competently directed. It wasn't that. It was a bad movie, but it wasn't like a disaster. It was pretty bad, but yeah. I mean, I think I'm kind of bordering on I was actually going to give it a 2, but I was like, that's kind of mean. You know, I mean, they did try to make a movie here.
I think it's more fun than a lot of the 2s that we've seen.
Yeah. So I'm going to give it a 3.
Yeah. I mean, a 3 sounds perfect. I would, this is close to a 4 and that's so bad. It's good because it is insanely stupid fun.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. I mean, it is. It has no logic. Nothing makes sense. The killer is very obvious from the moment one. It doesn't matter. And the only interesting twist is that Chuck gets killed.
I didn't want Chuck to get killed.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy. And that the fact that the detective gets killed, you cheer for it because he's such an idiot.
He's the worst cop of all time.
It's so close to a 4, but I have to go 3 as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, this isn't the worst movie ever made. And we usually say, what is? And we have a list of movies that we've been putting in a rank. And this is definitely going to go up near the top. I think that if I had to list this right now, I'm going to put it right at number 12 after Nam Angels and between Leprechaun and Space.
Oh my gosh. Okay, that's a good spot.
I think that would be like the perfect spot for it.
Yeah.
All right.
So that brings us to our segment of Why We Can't Have Nice Things, where I read out the two extremes of internet reviews, a 1-star and a 10-star review, as proof that people ruin the rating system and prove that no matter what, there's always going to be someone who messes it up for the rest of us. And I'm going to start with a 1-star review because this one I can't. This one is titled, "The Women in Tight Outfits Made Me Watch This Till the End." Want to know the secret to making a slasher film set at a fitness center work? Just pad the film out with lovely ladies in super tight workout outfits and have them bump and grind the floor like they are at a gentleman's club. That's what the makers of this horrid slasher film did, and that little gimmick kept me watching till the bitter end. This is the worst slasher film I have ever seen. But every time I was ready to switch the channel, they'd add another scene with the workout girls, and I'd stay put. As a slasher film, killer workout fails in every category I can think of. As a showcase for beautiful girls working out, it's a success. Strong recommendation to avoid, unless the thought of half the film being a big TNA show appeals to you. 1 out of 10. Okay.
I mean, good points. I mean, this is somebody who's like, can't find any enjoyment out of it.
Well, he did, looking at the girls.
Yeah, but he still gave it a 1, which is the lowest that you can get on IMDb. So, I mean, he even didn't give it a point for the things that he said he did like, which I'm like, that, I think we're giving it a 3 because that we can see some things that are just nonsensical fun.
Yeah.
Stupid, funny. Sure. Yeah. There's things here that it's like, that's so ridiculous. Yeah. You got to laugh at it. I mean, what other movie are you going to see a burnt woman show her body for no reason? Like, it's just so odd. It's so different and weird.
Yeah. I mean, this movie was so predictable. Like, we knew
it's,
you know, she was the one, but there are so many instances in the movie where it was, she was too ninja like to have accomplished what she accomplished.
Agreed.
You know, like only a man of brute strength could have handled this kind of thing.
Yeah.
And they still made it out to be her. And I'm like, come on, you know?
Yeah.
But, let's the 10 star, the 10 star is,
there is one.
Wow. Oh, there's several.
Oh my God.
This one's called Awfully Funny. Man, this movie was bad, but in a good way. I found this movie extremely hilarious. Well, other than the fact that one of the actors looks like my computer teacher. The killer does away with the beautiful people at a fitness club with a safety pin. I say anyone that loves bad horror movies should try really hard to find this little gem. It's worth the $3. I still say the title should be called Fatal Fitness.
Oh, nice.
Okay, dude. Well, we know that you're a kid.
It already started where he said,
yeah,
it's terrible, but you know, it's bad, but
you can't
good.
Give it a fucking 10.
Yeah, you can't give it. I mean, you can't, but the people who do, it's like everything's going to be rated one way or the other. I hate that.
I know.
But it's still, that was still funny. I would love to know which character looks like his math teacher. Or his computer teacher, whatever the hell it was.
I don't know.
Very, very interesting. I hope it wasn't Debbie.
Oh, man. This movie, though, it was kind of brutal. It was kind of brutal.
Yeah, I still had fun.
Yeah, well, because, you know, we watch these movies together, and we just look over at each other with that, like, half-Stewie look, you know? Like, where Stewie gives Brian the half look. Yeah. And we just try to get through it.
Yeah.
But this one was not good. It was a hot mess, to be honest. But I'm glad we did it on the show. I mean, there are very few aerobics movies out there.
Doing this movie, I found a couple more. So hopefully next week we can do one of them. We wanted to do one we can't find anywhere. So that maybe we'll have to hold on to that for one day if we ever can find it.
Oh, so. We're going to find it somehow. I don't care what we have to do.
I'm shocked. When I can't find a movie, I'm always shocked.
Yeah.
That's why I like physical media so much. You never know when these movies are just going to disappear.
That's true. And, you know, we have all that crap above our TV. It's like box sets upon box sets of just garbage.
Yeah.
I'll bet you it's in there.
I doubt it, but it may be. You never know.
Yeah.
All right, so thanks for listening, everybody. Always, we thank you for listening. Please like, share, support any way you can. We appreciate it. Hit us up on social media. We're on Instagram at Just Another Movie Night and Joe at The Crafty Misfit. And we would love to hear your thoughts, your opinions, or suggestions for an entire month or a theme or a movie we should do. Love to hear it. And...
Well, what is it this time, Lieutenant?
Have a seat, Valerie. Valerie Johnson. That is your real name.
It was. I changed it legally.
Uh-huh. You know, after last night, I was almost convinced that Jimmy Halleck was our man. All the victims were members of the spa. Number two is what I just couldn't figure out until today. All of them were good-looking, beautiful people. In great shape. Perfect bodies, one might say.
All except me.
All except you. Rhonda Johnson. Used to be the perfectly beautiful Valerie Johnson. Until 70% of her body was burned in a tanning spa accident 5 years ago.
But that's enough!
Valerie Johnson, who was to become the modeling world's newest young star, but suddenly couldn't get a job starring in a freak show!
What, Morgan? What? Look, is this what you wanted to see?
That's not necessary.
So what? That doesn't mean I killed those people.
I think it does. I think it eats you up inside to look at all those young, beautiful bodies. Knowing that you have to spend a lifetime hiding yours. Knowing that any man would get sick if he tried to make love to you. Bastard. Just doing my job.